Tonight we are looking at the angels once again, so joy to the world. May it be yours today from the great God and King, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Angels is our theme throughout this Advent season, and so far last week we looked at angels in general, who they are, what they are, how old they are, what's their purpose, how active are they in our lives, and in the Christmas events of 2,000 years ago. And tonight we're going to look at a special angelic visit by Gabriel to Zechariah and Mary in the Christmas event of 2,000 years ago. Let's read about that first, and then we'll explain it some more. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. He had a wife of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. A multitude of the people were standing outside of the hour of incense, praying, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. But Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John. He will be great before the Lord. He shall drink no wine nor strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And then, you know, Zechariah questioned, how can this be? And the angel struck him dumb, unable to speak, until that day when these things came to pass, and John was named. And then not long after that, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, well favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. We call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So these are the events of Christmas long ago. Let's look at this in a little more detail. Who appeared to Zechariah and to Mary? Gabriel. Now that's amazing right there, isn't it? That angels have names, which teaches you that they are persons with personalities, their own thoughts, their own individualities. They're unique. They have feelings. They have reasons. They have words. They are individuals, not people, but they are angelic beings. And Gabriel is one of God's highest, chief, perhaps even the highest, chief-ranking angel. You hear some other names in the Bible, not a lot of angels. On the bad side, you have Satan, the adversary, devil. You have Legion, that were many demons, remember? Abaddon, meaning destroyer, and Apollyon, which means destroyer. On the good side, you have Michael, who's like the Lord, a great high prince, a great angel. And then you have Gabriel, who seems to be like God's chief angel, because he's sent on the most special missions. And we see him throughout the Bible. When did we meet Gabriel before? Before the Christmas event. 500 years rolling back through history. There he stood before Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 and 10 and such places. In Daniel chapter 9, he says, "While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the first, came to me at swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice." Now, when Daniel met Gabriel, he fell down and had no further any more strength because of this angel Zechariah and Mary were afraid. Why were they afraid? You know, on all of our Hallmark pictures, we have these pictures of angels. They're like these little naked babies with little diapers and little wings and little arrow and stuff. Let me tell you what a real angel looks like, okay? This is Daniel, when he saw. He says, on the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes, and behold, a man. This is Gabriel, okay? A man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the gold of Ophaz. His body was like beryl. His face, the appearance of lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. And his arms and legs like gleam of burnished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Can you see now why Zechariah was afraid? And Mary was frightened and troubled at the same? I mean, this is Gabriel, whose name means God is my strength, God's chief angel, appearing in special moments in history. And what did he appear here to do in this story, or in this event, I should say? To announce a very special birth. Which births? To Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He says, you, your wife, who's barren and you're old, beyond childbearing years, but you, your wife shall bear a son, John. He will be great, and he'll go before the Lord to prepare the way. And to Mary, he had a great message that her child was to be the Prince of Heaven, Prince over all angels, Prince over all creation. In your womb, O Virgin, shall be conceived this child. Wow, on the throne of David. Now, interesting thing about birth announcements. You ever have a birth announcement when you have a baby? Who usually does that? Hallmark, right? This little pack thing they send out, you know? Or maybe you write it. Maybe you handwrite it. That's wonderful. All right. But those are for special, wonderful people. But if you have an announcement from Gabriel, I think you're talking about something super special. You know that in the Old Testament, as I was researching, thinking about this, I only know of two birth announcements by angels. And as I looked at them, do you know why? That the first one corresponds almost identically with John the Baptist, even though it's Old Testament. Second one with Jesus. Let me give you some of the verses are. In Judges chapter 13, we're talking about Samson's parents. And we read there, in verse 2, there was a certain man of Zorah, the tribe of the Danites, his name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. Sound familiar? And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore beware and drink no wine. Listen carefully. Drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from his birth, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Okay? Angel appears. Old couple. Barren, gonna have a son, drink no wine or a strong drink. What's the angel do in here in Luke chapter 1? The angel appears to Zechariah, to an old couple, barren, unable to have children. And he says, he'll be great before the Lord. You'll have conceived and have a son, and he shall drink no wine or strong drink. But he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And Samson was the answer in the Old Testament, right? The superman of the judges, the best of the judges, preeminent in strength. In the New Testament, the same language. An angel announces it, and who do you get? John the Baptist, of whom Jesus says there's none greater in all the Old Testament than John the Baptist. Isn't that amazing? So birth announcements are going to bring you something very special. Jesus also has that same kind of correlation. John had his with Samson. Jesus has his going back to the birth announcement for Isaac, the promised son of Abraham. For Genesis 18 says, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood before him. That's the Lord Jesus and two angels, I believe. Angels are angels. Two angels. And he bowed himself, and they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And the Lord said, I will surely return to you in the spring, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son, the promised son of Abraham, through whom would come whom? Ultimately, the Christ. So there you have this beautiful picture, right? So if you get a birth announcement from an angel, that's very important. Hallmark is nice, angel's better. Gabriel is the tops. And if you think, all these others were barren. They were old. They were beyond childbearing years. The cycle for women had ceased with these women, and they had someone great, a miracle. Who do you think you're going to get when a virgin who hasn't even known a man sexually is going to have a baby? This guy's going to be the tops, number one, greatest, all-time Prince of Peace. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas, amen? Amen. Jesus Christ, and that's the angel's message. How great is it? And what were these two men to do? We read there, the angel Gabriel said that John was to go before the Lord to prepare the way. Now, how did he do that? Did he go saying, you know, sleigh bells ring, I listen. Then we're going to sit in a little carriage and ride peacefully over the snow and stuff like that? What was his message like to prepare the way of the Lord? Let's look and see what his message sounded like preparing the way of the Lord. He says this in Luke 3. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Does that sound like a nice Christmas song to you? What is this? To prepare the way of the Lord, what did he do? Preach the law. Right? And that's what you need. The thunder of the coming wrath of God. His was to preach repentance to Israel. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, pointing to Jesus Christ who was to come after him, who would forgive the sins. Amen?
Amen.
We need this message of Gabriel to understand this. He says, John's going to come and give you the law first. And we need the law. If you're going to go be a farmer, you're going to plant a seed, you don't just throw it on soil, right? You've got to go over there and first you till it and you churn it up and you make it all confused and turned over. And then you come in and plant the seed. God has to do that with us. You know, when he wants to prepare the way into your heart, you first got to have the law to teach you that you're a sinner. And you need to repent. And then, John having prepared the way, now God sends his son like the seed of light right down into the world, and you hear the message of the Savior, and then you can be saved. So, it's beautiful how God put all this together, and it was announced by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, when he makes these announcements, by the way, is simply saying this, the scriptures are now to be fulfilled. What did we read there in Malachi chapter 4, the last word of the Old Testament? God says, behold, I'll send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. What do we read the angel Gabriel said of John? It says, he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. He did the same thing with Jesus. He's the son that was promised to David. And so what does the angel do? What do angels do? Good angels. They're talking about the Word of God. They're saying the scriptures are now to be fulfilled. In Jesus, John, and then in Jesus. So what should be Zechariah and Mary's response to the angel Gabriel and his words? Answer in a word? Faith. Did they both answer in faith? Well, Zechariah says, how can I know this? In other words, I believe, but I want proof. And the angel Gabriel smote him and made him unable to speak. Right? He says, here's your sign. You shall be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. So he responded with doubt, even though he's a righteous man. But how did Mary respond? She says, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. When she says, how can this be? It wasn't out of doubt that she asked that. She was simply asking for more explanation. The angel Gabriel said, this is how it's going to go down, Mary, or it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you, and therefore the child will be holy, the Son of God. But notice she answered in faith. Martin Luther said that Mary here is the picture for us because she had nothing to go on. It's never before been seen in all creation. There's no creature that you can look to that didn't have a father and mother. There's nothing in experience. There's nothing in reason. There's nothing in logic. There's only one thing she clung to, the Word of God, His promise. Amen? And therefore, Elizabeth, when she came and saw Mary, said, blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So now as I conclude today, I want to say this. Do you believe the word of promise that God gives to you? And are you blessed for that good word that God gives to you? It goes against all reason, and it goes against all experience, but here's God's word to you, that you're a sinner and you've fallen short of the glory of God. Do you believe that? Say yes.
Yes.
Do you believe that you're justified by God's grace as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again? Say yes.
Yes.
Do you believe that God has given you His Holy Spirit into your heart as a guarantee of the good things in the world to come? Say yes.
Yes.
Do you believe that believing on Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, and God says, I will raise you up at the last day?
Yes.
Yes. And do you believe in the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells?
Yes.
That is a word. That is a promise. And like Mary, you holding fast to that. Over against all reason and logic and experience, holding fast God's word, I say to the words of Elizabeth and the words of Gabriel, putting them together is this. Blessed are you who believe that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to you by the Lord. Words which will be fulfilled in their time. In Jesus' name. Amen.